What do we do with a God who sends a hot, dry wind, not to just clean up things, but to destroy, to uproot? What do we do with a God who says he's done this because of his great anger? What do we do with this God? Can we trust this God? Can we put our hope in this God? We didn't read verse 18, but it's an important verse to notice. If you have your Bibles open, look at verse 18. It says, the army will attack you because of your conduct and actions. In the Hebrew, it is literally, this is your evil. So all the things we hear about in Jeremiah 4, all the destruction, all the loss, is because of the people's evil. This army Jeremiah is talking about are the Babylonians that will come and bring destruction. And Jeremiah has this vision of what's coming for the people because they've turned their backs on God. In verses 23 through 26, we see a terrible image. It reminds us of the creation story in Genesis 1. Did you notice? Do you remember Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless, it was empty, and darkness covered the face of the waters. But the Spirit of God was over the waters too. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that it was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. And then God put a dome to separate the waters above and the waters below. And when you hear waters, think chaos. Think something without purpose, without form. God speaks order. And then God says, let dry land appear in the water. And let the land be filled with every kind of plant, every kind of plant you can imagine. And let fish fill the sea. Let what was empty be full of life. And let animals, every kind of creature, fill the land. And then God made human beings in his own image. Do you see where we came from? We came from darkness, from emptiness. And we've arrived at a place of life and fullness and goodness and abundance. And then Jeremiah sees this vision of what happens when a people turn their back on God. Did you notice? Verse 23, what does Jeremiah see? I looked at the earth. It didn't have any shape. It was empty. I looked at the sky and its light was gone. I looked at the mountains and they were shaking. I looked and there weren't any people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. And the fruitful, full land, it had become a desert. Where there was life, now there's no life. All the towns were destroyed. All the best that people had made in God's good creation, it was gone. Jeremiah sees that when a people turn their back on God, they turn their back on life. They turn their back on goodness, on purpose, on order. And they walk into emptiness. They walk into darkness. And the people of Judah had done that. They turned their back on the God who loved them, on the God who saved them from Egypt, on the God who called them by name. Jana and I started watching a TV show called Chernobyl. not a happy, light TV show. So if you don't know about Chernobyl, it's a place in Ukraine, but it was part of the Soviet Union, Communist Russia. And the Soviet Union was supposed to be a utopia, the perfect society that the communists could build. And the communists were atheists, fundamentally, that they believed that if human beings can come together, we can build the perfect world, an equal world. And Chernobyl was a symbol of their progress. It was a huge nuclear power plant, right? This symbol of Soviet power and progress and technology, right? And they thought, we are marching on our way to a new creation, a new world. And the power plant explodes. And there's chaos. There's darkness. There's death. And to this day, these are pictures from Chernobyl. It happened in 1986, the year I was born. And it's deserted. There's 1,000 square miles around Chernobyl that are uninhabitable, that human beings are not allowed to live. That's the size of Kent County. Look at our progress. Can you imagine? Now, it's easy to point back in time at communist Russia. What about us? Are we doing much better? Have we created a better world for ourselves? What about our progress? Friends, does it sometimes feel like our world is falling apart, that the mountains are shaking? I mean, think of the ice caps that are melting, the sea levels that are rising, the temperatures that are rising, the storms that are getting more severe. The rate of extinction is higher than it's been since the last ice age, and it's not because of a meteor, it's because of us. What do we do in a world that seems to be falling apart? Are we listening to the warning signs? That's what Jeremiah wants the people to do in Judah. He's saying, all of this is coming. Wake up, turn around, change your ways, go back to God. And they say, Jeremiah, chill out. We're doing fine. Assyria, our worst enemy, they're not any trouble. They're crumbling. We're okay. Jerusalem is safe. And Jeremiah says, no, you have to go back to God or you're going to your death. Do we listen to the warning signs? It's important to remember that there is Jeremiah the prophet and the book of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah the prophet lived in Jerusalem, and he preached for 40 years. He was telling people, look, we have to go back to God. Leave the idols. Leave the fertility cults. Leave false gods. Come back to God's way, to God's law, to true worship. But they didn't listen. And finally, the destruction Jeremiah saw did come. The Babylonians came and they destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. Everything fell apart. And the Babylonians took thousands of the best and brightest of Jerusalem and sent them into exile, carried them 4 months' journey across the desert to Babylon. And it's these exiles in Babylon who finally listen to the message. Because Jeremiah's scribe, Baruch, he was writing Jeremiah's message down. And the exiles took Jeremiah's book into exile, and they're looking back at Jerusalem, which lies in ruins, and they're thinking, we didn't listen. What do we do now? We're on the other side of destruction and loss and devastation. Our world has fallen apart. Is there any reason to hope? There seems like there's no reason to hope. When Jeremiah was preaching, there was a young priest named Ezekiel. He was growing up in Jerusalem. And he was one of the people carried away into exile. And Ezekiel is asking that question in faraway Babylon. Is there any reason to hope after our world has fallen apart? And Ezekiel has visions of his own, and the Lord leads Ezekiel to this valley of dry bones, to this place where everything has been stripped away, where there's just dust and bones. There's no life, no sign of hope. And the Lord asks Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel says, Lord, why are you asking me? You know, but it doesn't look like it. I'm not seeing a reason to hope. We've lost everything. We've lost everything. Have you been in that place where you feel like your world has fallen apart? Or that you've lost purpose? You've lost hope? That things can actually change and get better? I see some folks who I think have lived through this, who know what it is to lose a home, to live through war, and to ask in exile, is there hope? To wait for good news. Others live with deep depression. Is there hope in the darkness? Can I trust a God who lets this happen? I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's just your own sense of inadequacy that I'm not good enough. Why should I expect God to use me? Maybe it's an addiction you struggle with and no one knows about it and you're hiding it. And you keep it away because you don't believe God can change that. You don't believe God can do something with that dark place, that place that you've given up hope on. What do we do with that darkness? What do we do with the memories of the hurt in our hearts? Well, we usually hide, don't we? We hide from that. We're afraid of those dark places. We're afraid of what's happened to us. We're ashamed. We don't want to let God in because we don't think God can change that. We don't want to let God in because we're ashamed, because we're hurt, because God let this happen to us. We hide. We don't let the light in that place. Jeremiah's words, friends, are a reminder to us that we have to look in that place. We have to go to that dark place. We can't hide from it. We can't escape it. We can't pretend like it's not there. We have to face it. We have to name it. We have to lament it. We have to confess it. So Jeremiah, he points us back to Genesis 1, to the beginning of all things. And the Gospel of John does the same. Do you know how the Gospel of John starts? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. Do you see what God is doing in Jesus? He's making a new world. He wants to create a new humanity, a new creation. And what do the people do to the light of the world? Jesus came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. They want to snuff out the light. What happens at the cross when Jesus dies? Darkness covers the land. There's an earthquake. Do you see what's happening? Creation begins to rip apart. The foundations of all things are shaking because the light of the world has been killed. And we're moving again into darkness, into chaos. And what did the disciples do? What did the disciples do after Jesus dies? They run and hide. They hide from the darkness. They hide from the shame that their Messiah has been killed. They hide from the grief. They hide from the pain. They lock themselves in a room. They don't want to face their hopelessness. They've given up because everything they knew had been stripped away. But the women, what do the women do on Sunday morning? They go back to the tomb. They go back to the place of death and loss and grief. And they come with their tears. And they come with their pain. They come with their hopelessness. And what do they find? That when there was no reason to hope, when there was no reason to trust, God had shown up. That the light broke through the darkness, and the darkness didn't overcome it. There was no reason to hope. Everything had been lost. All had been stripped away. That's what the exiles are asking in Babylon. There's no reason to hope. Why should we believe in this God? Why should we trust that things could change? Friends, it has to be because the God we trust in is a God of resurrection, a God of new life, a God who offers hope when there is no reason to hope. That's the only reason we're here today. Because we can't make things better for ourselves. We can't heal our own wounds. We can't bring light to our own darkness. But Jesus enters that place. He says, don't be afraid. Jesus, after his resurrection, comes into that locked room. What are his first words to the disciples? Peace be with you. Peace. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And in that valley of dry bones, Ezekiel wonders, can there be new life here? Oh, and the Lord says, prophesy. Speak. Speak life. Prophesy to the wind, to the breath. God doesn't send a wind of destruction. God sends a wind of new life. He breathes life to dry bones. Friends, I don't know where you've given up hope in life or what you're hiding from, what you're hiding from others. But I want to invite us into a time of prayer where we say, Jesus, I don't want to hide anymore. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to numb myself to the pain. I want to face it with you. So, friends, let's just pray together and invite the Lord Jesus to bring new life where we've given up hope. Lord, we are so fragile and we are so afraid. We're afraid that we're not enough. We're afraid of our own pain and our own darkness. We're ashamed of different things. And we confess that we've given up on you in different ways. But Lord Jesus, we know that you descended to hell and you came up again and you burst into new life. And so we invite you now, Jesus, to come into that place with us and breathe your spirit over us. Breathe new life. So Lord, we trust that you are making all things new, even when we don't see a reason to hope. We trust. We put our hope in you. Lord, we put our hope in you for the people of Yemen. We put our hope in you for those living with depression. We put our hope in you for those who are hiding from their own brokenness. Come, Lord Jesus, make all things new. Amen.